So now we have an interview that Alan Thurston and I did this morning with Toby Carey, an independent documentary filmmaker who has a movie about the violet business in which was centered in Rhinebeck 50 or 60 years ago. So here's the interview.
This is Ellen Thurston, and we're here with Toby Carey, who's calling in to the station. Thank you, Toby, for doing this.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Toby has made a film called Sweet Violets, and I think it has a subtitle, The Surprising Story of the Violet Capital of the World, Rhinebeck, New York.
This is a full-length film?
It's a 40-minute documentary, and as you said, it's about the violet growing industry that did exist at one time in and around Rhinebeck and actually throughout Dutchess County.
I've known about the anemone growers in that part of the valley, but I have to confess I didn't know about the violets, except that Eleanor Roosevelt, I think, wore violets quite often, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She, of course, was a big supporter of local industry, especially during the Depression, and made a point of wearing and carrying violets during the inaugurations of FDR. So she was a big user, and they were sent down to the White House from Rhinebeck. You mentioned the anemone houses. There's still one anemone grower in the Rhinebeck area, the Battenfeld Anemone Farm, and they are the ones who have the what we believe is the last remaining cultivated bed of sweet violets on the east coast of the United States.
And they raise them to sell them. Is that correct?
Well, they do sell them. They sell them mostly for culinary use and for they do make some bunches for, say, Valentine's Day, which, of course, has just passed, but there's an interest in violets among folks who remember them as being the flower of choice for Valentine's Day and actually for Easter at one time as well.
Now, there was a fascinating story about the French movie, I believe it was French, and the scandalous behavior. Could you tell us about that?
There was a play that was a very big hit in Europe. It was called The Captive in the 1920s, and it was brought over to Broadway, and it opened in 1926 and starred Basil Rathbone and Helen Menken, and the storyline involved a love affair between two women, one of whom is never seen. She's always off stage. But the women passed violets back and forth at various times as a sign of their commitment to each other. And so it became quite a scandalous event in New York, and the sheriff actually closed the play down, never reopened after it was closed down in early 1927. So it ran for 5 months before it was shut, and one of the upshots of the play was that violets became associated with homosexuality, and it really put a crimp in the business. And one of the folks in the film says it really was a kind of a death sentence to the violet growing business up in this part of the world. Although it did continue on until the late 1970s with the Trombini family still growing violets up through that time.
And the violet carried that stigma for, I guess, quite a while.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the folks who talks to us in the movie, Dr. Julian Myers, who's a professor at Marist College, talks about violets and the color purple associated with them became, as she puts it, a signifier for the gay and lesbian community, and I think that continues today. So long-lasting sociological impact.
So what brought you to this subject?
Well, I've done several local historical films. Some you may be familiar with. I did one with the late Artie Traum and our good friend Robbie Dupree called Deep Water, which is about the building of the Ashokan Reservoir and the Catskill Water System. And another one more recently that I published last October, that's October 2010, called The Catskill Mountain House and the World Around. So I have an interest in local history, and back when we were editing the Deep Water film in about the year 2000, Beverly Traum was in the editing studio with us one day, and she is a person who has had antiques business in and around the Rhinebeck area, and she mentioned this history to me of violet growing, and I didn't know anything about it, and I kind of was busy with this other work and really didn't pay very much mind. Then she came a year ago, January, to a showing of the Catskill Mountain House film up in Pine Hill, and she mentioned this again to me. And this time it struck a chord, and I said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I was getting ready to start a new project, and I knew I didn't want to start a project that would take me 3 or 4 years like the Deep Water project did and the Catskill Mountain House project did. I wanted something a little more confined or compacted. And I thought this might be of interest. I began to do research and found out this strange and incredible history that I knew nothing about, really, and seems like many people know nothing about. And so the outcome is this film, Sweet Violets.
And you're also working on a new film.
I am. Well, I always try to keep something going on, as well as some client-related work and editing for folks, which I do regularly. I've started my research and gathering materials on a film about the railroads of the Catskills. That I anticipate will also be probably a three-year project. These things generally seem to take that long. I have to fit them in and around paying work, as they say.
Have you lived in this area for a long time?
I've been in the Woodstock area where I live still since 1969, so more than 40 years now.
I'm reading here from a website called Documentary World, and
yes.
It talks about the history of Dutchess County violets, which were brought over apparently to this country after the Civil War by two British brothers. So this has been going on quite some time, and it was known as the Violet Belt, the certain part of... It's always been in Dutchess County, is that right?
Dutchess County seemed to be the center of it in this area. There are other places in the country that grew violets, and they had some competition from growers in Massachusetts and other places, but... the Salford brothers who came over, and they, William Salford had worked as a gardener on some of the large estates in the Poughkeepsie area, and then he struck out on his own and imported violets and started constructing violet houses, as the greenhouses that grew violets were called, violet houses, on his own, and had a successful business in Poughkeepsie and a florist shop. And his brother George joined him in that, and then George moved up to the Rhinebeck area and started growing violets there. And it caught on, and the business grew quite rapidly. It became a way for farmers who had some land to have a business that they could run during the winter, since it's a winter-blooming crop. So while their other fields were perhaps not productive, they could, with some good hard work, have a cash crop for the winter.
The greenhouses must have been fairly large.
Well, some of them were, 200 feet long, perhaps. Some were shorter. The interesting about violet houses is that they were very low to the ground because violets are a small plant. They usually, 4, 5, 6 inches tall. And they had this intricate system of picking them, where they would lay boards across the beds, and and the pickers would have to lie on these boards so that they wouldn't crush the plants, and they did this so that they had more room for growing and less expense in building these low-growing greenhouses. And the women who worked there and men as well who were doing the picking would bunch the violets as they picked them, and then they would be brought down to a packing room, and in the evening perhaps would have some wonderful leaves put around them, and then they're put in coolers and kept until they were ready to be shipped.
Now, are these violets similar in size to the kind we have growing in our yards?
Well, they're very similar in size. The violets that were cultivated in the greenhouses were sometimes very sophisticated cultivars. They had names like Marie Louise and Swan Lee White, and they were double violets, some of them, and were very fragrant, most of them. And it's kind of curious that these types of violets are not grown, at least commercially, anymore around here. What they what they do grow in the Battenfeld Anemone House now are a cultivar that's called the Fry's Fragrant. And curiously, they have no fragrance, even though they're called the Fry's Fragrant. They have a very deep purple color, evidently are quite resistant to disease, and easier to grow than some of the older types. So that's what they evolved to grow. And they're certainly beautiful, but they're not fragrant as you picture violets usually are.
Now, as I remember, you said that ladies would wear...
Nosegays, maybe they were called?
They carried nosegays, yeah.
They carried
and
nosegays.
There's a term for some of these nosegays that were called tussy mussies, which is a wonderful European phrase.
This is all so sweet. You know, the whole industry is just incredibly sweet.
Very sweet, but hard work for the folks who were the growers. They really, in the early days, before they had a way of fumigating the soil, they would have to remove all the soil in the greenhouses every year and then mix up manures and fresh soil that was dug up and replant all the violet cuttings were taken out and put outside for 3 or 4 months. And then when the plants were robust, they would replant them all. So you can imagine tens of thousands of plants being hand-planted back in greenhouses, after which they would then grow and begin to flower in the late fall through early spring.
It all sounds absolutely grueling, and the product doesn't reveal any of that, what's happening behind the scenes to produce these beautiful flowers.
It's a very hard work. Dorothy Trombini, whose husband was one of the last large growers, and these large growers were called the Violet Kings, and there were several during the decades that had that title. She talks about how hard work it was. They'd work all day at the greenhouses, and then in the evening they would have to do the packing and getting ready to ship. So it was a lot of work.
Remind me, did you say that violets are still grown to a certain extent in the Hudson Valley?
Only, as far as we can tell, the only cultivated bed of violets on the whole east coast of the United States is grown in the town of Milan at the Battenfeld Anemone House. And he's the last anemone grower in the area.
He's the anemone king.
Kitcher's anemone farm is no more. The greenhouses there are vacant, and some of them collapsed, which you can see in the film as well. And someone has bought that property, but they don't seem to be using the greenhouses, at least at this point. But Fred Battenfeld keeps his operation growing. He may be the largest grower of anemones in the country. And he does keep this one strip of violets kind of for old time's sake.
Mm. And the only other vestige seems to be a street in Poughkeepsie called Violet Avenue.
Yes, there are actually quite a number of Violet Avenues. Route 9 in Rhinebeck used to be called Violet Avenue. There's a Violet Avenue in Hyde Park, as well as in Poughkeepsie. So there was a great naming of these streets after the industry during its heyday, which the peak seemed to have been, at least for Rhinebeck, 1912 or so. That was the peak of the industry.
Well, I hope we'll have other chances to see the film beside the Saturday at what time at Upstate?
At 1 p.m.
At 1 p.m.
At Upstate Films in Rhinebeck at this Saturday. We have been talking about showing it perhaps in Woodstock at Upstate Films. I have some showings scheduled with a variety of historic societies in the Valley, so that's coming together. It is available as a DVD for sale either from our website, which as you mentioned is documentaryworld.com, or it will be in a lot of retailers. We have it in several shops in Woodstock now, and we'll be spreading that to bookstores and garden centers and such throughout Dutchess County as well, since its premiere was just last Sunday, so we're trying to get it out and in people's hands. It seems to be a great interest. I've already gotten orders from people from Michigan and Oregon and such who are violet lovers, or they're interested in local history, so it kind of crosses over. Saturday at 1 p.m. at Upstate Films in Rhinebeck, and you must come early. Last Sunday, the house was full at 12:30, so they opened the doors at noon, and anyone who is interested in coming would be well advised to come early.
Well, it sounds like a great agricultural story. When you think of Columbia County agriculture, I, anyway, do not think of growing flowers. So I'm really interested in it, and I think a lot of other people will be, too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting for me to find these kind of lost histories. They intrigue me. It seems that every area has its little special histories that maybe are now 100 years in the past or so, and I'm always interested in ferreting them out. As you mentioned, my new one will be about railroads of the Catskills, and there's always a great interest in railroads, both old steam engines and modern trains as well. And so I hope that people will scour their attics and find things and let me know if they have something that might be of interest.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to your listeners. I appreciate it.